The Historic Albany Foundation hosted a roundtable discussion on the issue of vacant and deteriorating buildings at the North Albany branch of the Albany Public Library on Wednesday evening, December 11th. After much description about the 400-plus red X's that have appeared on buildings that have been deemed structurally unsafe for the entrance of first responders, city and county officials noted that the signs themselves shouldn't be seen as the problem.
Yeah, so this is mandated by New York State Building Code upon municipalities.
It's an international code.
International code, yeah.
And it's been in place since 2010.
So a lot of this isn't something we can really adjust or change. It's mandated in state building code.
So the process is the fire department every 6 months is tasked to, we give them the list of all the known vacant buildings that we have. And they are to go out and inspect them every 6 months. So they're doing exterior inspections. Again, these are almost always done on the exterior because we don't, you know, have legal access unless it's unsecured and we can gain access. But the owners are notified because we notify them with violations, and that's one of the violations.
Discussion moved towards the many problems that lie beneath vacant buildings. Among those speaking were Adam Zarenko of the Land Bank, Sam Wells, the City of Albany's Neighborhood Stabilization Coordinator, and Wade Beltramo of the New York State Conference of Mayors.
This holds true for every city. It's on any given block. Any sample of houses of vacant properties are owned by several different entities, right? So tax foreclosed vacant property will eventually come to our land bank. But the neighboring property, maybe they're behind LLCs and they're paying their taxes. So that won't fall into tax foreclosure. And then two blocks down or two doors down might be a bank-owned zombie property. And so those vacant properties undermine the investment that our organization makes and others. And so they all may have X's on them or only some of them. But if we're going to solve for all the X's, we have to kind of stack the solutions together. So the land bank has been one big part of it, and it's proven to work very quickly, especially in Albany County. This is one of the most largest and most active land banks in the state. But we're only solving for the tax foreclosed problem.
Yeah, to put context to what Adam's referencing, you know, land banks, right, there's the way we see vacant properties is really, in my mind, five different categories of vacant properties. There's your tax foreclosures, the properties that haven't been paying taxes are in the municipalities or counties foreclosure pipeline. There are properties that are experiencing, you know, foreclosures by the banks, right? Mortgages are going unpaid. At some point, the banks remove or, you know, give the impression that owners need to leave and the owners abandon their property thinking they've lost them to the banks. There's also properties with air issues, right? We have several, I've been finding more and more of these every day in Albany where the owner passed away and didn't leave it to anybody. Or if they did leave it to somebody, that air is not there. They're gone or they don't want the property. Those are some of the toughest because who are we going to send the code violations to, right? The person who's deceased, it's, you know, there's even less leverage for us in those cases. We also see properties that are vacant because of the bad economics of repair, right? Where if you were a homeowner and you're interested in owning this home, you're going to lose equity fixing it up and occupying it. Or if you're a landlord, the amount of time it would take for you to see your money back that you spend on repairs is 15, 20, 30 years, much longer than most landlords are willing to wait to see the return on their investment. And then finally, and this is a bit of a smaller category, but one that's, can be quite a nuisance, there are some owners that just aren't rational, frankly. We call them X-factor owners, right? Owners where we'll lay out the case for why they should be doing something with their buildings. But there's something there that prevents that owner from, you know, following what should otherwise be a rational and pretty well laid out path for them to return their property to productive use. The numbers I've collected from my counterparts across New York State, Buffalo has over 10,000 vacant properties, Rochester has over 2,200 vacant properties, Syracuse is around 1,600 vacant properties, Schenectady 780, Newburgh 740, Poughkeepsie 600. This is a problem across upstate New York. We are one of many communities dealing with this, and there is no real silver bullet. It takes a combination of things to deal with the combination of factors that cause many of these buildings to be vacant.
We've been around over 1,000 of vacant properties, a lot of buildings, and talking to other land banks, and like, you don't want a building to become vacant. It's the most, so the longer a building is vacant, the more harmful it is to the community, and the more externalities are thrown off, harming it all the way to crime, to reading levels, to all this stuff, the more expensive it is to turn around and save. And having not addressed the number of vacant and abandoned properties systematically to date, the check is coming due. These properties are very expensive.
The roundtable setup of the discussion brought new voices to the fore, including several people who brought up outside nonprofit forces looking to enter the city, from home leasing out of Rochester to the Neighborhood Assistant Corporation of America. Everyone began to speak about searching out new and old ways to tackle the problems of an aging city, how to bring the financial industry to the table with elected officials' support, how to empower communities to force outside solutions.
You want to go upstream and solve, and that works with municipalities and codes and vacant building registry and investment and grants and keeping people in their homes, because you have to pay for it eventually, and it's very, very costly. And so we have to keep working on turning off that vacant property spigot and let us get the funding in place and support each other to clean up what's there. Let's stop these from falling into this cycle, because it's devastating. Most of the 1,000 vacant buildings in the city of Albany are in like 3 or 4 neighborhoods. So the effects that those buildings have really starts to compound and really harm those communities and residents, and creates a cycle that's very difficult to break. I mean, 1,000 vacant buildings for a city of 100,000 people, that's a very high proportion. I mean, we're not alone. Upstate New York is not alone. It's the white X to us is just starting to call attention and awareness to an issue that has been manifesting over decades. Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of these buildings are hitting the end of their useful life, and we have to start kind of keeping through, plowing through some of this challenge.
So a few thoughts. One is, how do we stem the flow into the vacant buildings? And the other is, I think if we look back to about 40 years ago, when Center Square was vacant, the Mansions was vacant, the South End was pretty, I mean, the city was pretty rough. It appears that financially the city and cities are doing better now. And what we had then were a series of storefront community design centers. We had Capitol Hill Improvement Corporation, South End was there, West Hill Improvement Corporation, Arbor Hill Improvement Corporation. And so any of us could easily walk in to a storefront that we knew where it was and get all kinds of assistance from, here's your funding sources, we're your ally, we're your advocate, we can do plans, we can help you. And we really don't have those organizations any longer, but I think the question I would ask for this group is, what do we need to help people not going through big projects, mm-hmm. and some of them will come to you, and that's wonderful, but how do we get all of the rest of the folks, yeah. who want to invest in the city, how do we facilitate that? And I would suggest that if it's not going to be the city, because they're busy doing their work and they're limited in resources,
yeah.
what do we have to look at that we don't have now that becomes a real advocate for all of those folks?
In the end, one man summed up the hour-and-a-half roundtable shift from doom and gloom to the invigorating recognition of rousing challenges.
It's a really tough issue that we're facing, but there's a lot of positive things happening in the city. There's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of individuals, there's a lot of people investing their time, whether it's just sweeping your sidewalk or helping your neighbors shovel themselves, mm-hmm. out. Hammers are swinging in some of the toughest neighborhoods. People are coming up from New York City, from all over the area to invest here. We have great schools, great parks, great facilities. I'm really excited every day that I'm out there. Even though it's challenging, seeing the changes, seeing the last vacant property on the block get rehab and fixed, and then just seeing the changes of the blocks and happy homeowners. And homeowners, when they're actually done with their rehab and their ex is coming down, mm. they're like so excited about that. I think highlighting the successes of the neighborhoods and the people, like, that should be the forefront. Like, who has done it? People are actually doing it. You know, people are pooling resources. They're learning how to do electrical work to drop costs. Historic Albany teaching people how to fix windows and drop reducing costs. I think it just has to be a more synergy. I think people are working in their own bubbles a lot. It's hard. We're all in our own sphere. But pooling our resources would be huge and just creating that energy and showing people that it can be done, because there's actually people out there doing this every single day with their last penny they have, working two jobs to make it happen. And that's exciting. And that's a lot of energy. So I think supporting those people and supporting the organizations that are out there working every day is key.
This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.